Alright, so I'm back with this shit, and there's a second episode apparently, so I finally decided I feel like doing it, so here it is. The thing about this next episode is that she's not really making too many new points. It's just the same usual. Women are scared, and they're fucking children who need to be supervised by an adult at all times, special pleading. So, there's not really too much in there. It's mostly gonna be just a re-upload of her content, and I'm just going to reply at the few and far apart new points that she's made. And yeah, that's what you can expect from this episode. So, well, let's get started. Yeah, and you want to know why men are the minority of rape victims and why you automatically conflated woman with rape victim and man with rape perpetrator? Because of two reasons. One, biology. Men do everything and orbit around women because women produce babies and aren't really good at anything else, such as being out in public by themselves. Second, I once again ask you, if you had bad sex, who can tell you whether or not that's rape? That's right, nobody except you. Because you're gonna feel whatever way you feel. Your emotions are just kind of their own fucking thing. And the public's gonna have their own opinion about whether or not what you feel is valid or not. And why should you care? And that's just this whole elephant in the room that nobody's fucking talking about. Is that who is really in control of whether or not deciding that you have been raped or not? Huh? Simply put, aside from the prison system, which is just goes without saying, whenever men have bad sex, they're less likely to call it rape and just say, oh shit, you know, her pussy smelled like fucking Swedish canned fish and she just laid there like a starfish and just bossed me around and just, ew, it was fucking terrible sex, I'm not fucking her ever again. Whereas if a woman had bad sex with this dude with, you know, bad breath and didn't meet her expectations, this and that, and then she'd be like, oh my god, he was so pushy and he was this and this and this, and I didn't like it and I feel so dirty and gross and blah, 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 blah. And then her friend's gonna tell you like, girl, you have been raped, okay? It is not okay that he did not meet your expectations. So you need to go talk to people about this and speak up because you are a rape victim and we are here for you. And that's how this happens.
Claimed that you weren't drunk. The only claim I've seen him make is that you weren't as drunk as you claimed to have been because you can remember every single minute detail of what happened that night. Aside from mysteriously when you actually had sex with William, and she actually proves this in her own Facebook post. So if you scroll down here, here she's basically reciting William's side of the story, where, you know, William says they went to a bar, they went home, and then they ended up just having sex. Well, here's Adriana responding to this. You didn't volunteer to do shit. The first thing that you tried to do as soon as we were in the room was to kiss me. The days before, you were insisting on having sex, and I said no. You were clearly pretty mad that I didn't want to. So then, when I'm drunk, you take advantage because you knew I was weak enough. I was too weak to even walk. Surprise, that is not consent. You were also insisting on me changing my clothes and removing my makeup.
By the way, Adriana's saying that William got mad whenever she said no. That's fucking nonsense. William, look at him. He's not homeless. He's got a full head of hair. He's a fucking jujitsu instructor and a leader of a freaking vegan activist movement. I'm sure he's got money. I'm sure he's got status. I'm sure he's got connections. Why the fuck would he be mad about this stupid teenage diss who says no to him? This guy has options, okay? And when you have options, you don't fucking care whenever option one goes down. Especially when you got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 lined up. You're not exactly in any shortage. You don't freak out when something of abundance is reduced just by a little bit in quantity, okay? This is just... But those are just my suspicions, you know. Again, I'm just, who am I? I'm just this woman-hating asshole who plays video games and uploads videos on YouTube talking shit about people, and what do I know?
So, you can remember which bars you went to, what happened that night at all these bars. You remember coming home, how you got home by taxi. You remember exactly what William did to you when you got home, trying to kiss you, telling you to undress, take off your makeup. But somehow, you just completely forgot the actual act of having sex with him.
It's wild to me that I have to explain this, but this is how being drunk works. You remember stuff, and you can't. And this makes sense that she can remember all these details up until she hit the bed, because she was probably super drunk and fell asleep once she got onto the bed. It is notoriously difficult to wake someone up who's drunk once they fall asleep. It's also not surprising that as she's had time to think about these events that things would come back to her, or maybe other people would remind her of things that happened. So to accuse her of lying for this is totally unreasonable. And please make note of her changing her story in this instance, because I want to get back to that point.
So here she is at a bar with her rapist, who anally raped her just a few days before, and she's just laughing, just having a great time with her rapist. Has anyone else had that experience? Like, after being anally raped, you go to a bar with your rapist and just start laughing, having a great time?
I didn't realize that Richard was an expert on trauma.
And you are? Well, where's your PhD in psychology, Tofu Goddess? You gotta have your credentials.
I didn't realize he was an expert on the behavior of sexual abuse victims. Not hard to imagine that different people have different methods of coping, but also it is well known that sexual assault survivors don't always act in a way that you would expect them to. This is a common misconception that has been used against women who have come forward to report their sexual assault.
That's why you look at paperwork and evidence and people's actions and not their words, because people fucking lie all the time for all kinds of reasons. But where's the paperwork and evidence in this one, huh? I don't see it anywhere.
I read one instance that was very memorable because the police dismissed a woman who came forward to report her sexual assault because she let her rapist help her take off her ski boots.
Yeah, because if someone fucked me in the ass and I didn't like it, I don't want that person touching me again. And if that person helps me put on my ski boots, or even attempts to, I'm gonna throw some fucking hands, okay? And I'm gonna throw some boots too, and it's gonna be a mess. And if you think that, if you're gonna drop any more special pleading on this, then you're the sexist here, because I'm holding women to the same standards as I do to myself. I'm all about that gender equality, man. I'm the real feminist, and if you're the one that's gonna imply that women are just fucking cowards who are useless to do anything, including defending themselves, then you're the sexist here, okay? We just need to make that clear. So one of the two explanations to that story that you just told is either that she's just a fucking coward who doesn't respect herself and doesn't really care about what happened, or, gasp, she's fucking lying.
Women shouldn't be dismissed because they didn't act damaged enough. This reminds me of a famous rape case. There was an article written on it called The Unbelievable Case of Rape. There's also a Netflix series on it, on this true story, and I highly recommend you go watch it. It's extremely informative and enlightening. But basically, this rape case was a woman was horrifically raped. A man crawled in through her window at night and raped her in her own bed. And so she called the police right away. They came to the site, they questioned her, they brought her in for her questioning, and they noticed that she wasn't acting like a sexual assault survivor. And they noticed there were a lot of inconsistencies in her story. Inconsistencies from her first statement at the scene, her second statement at the scene, her statements at the station. The police noticed that it wasn't lining up. And so because of this, they interrogated her, and she admitted to making it all up. She admitted to lying. She received a false reporting charge. She was fined $500. She was put on probation. She was made to go to counseling. She was threatened to be put in jail, and she was threatened to lose her assisted housing. It later turned out that a different police unit found definitive proof that she absolutely was raped. They found the photos that this guy had taken of her during the assault. Everyone accused her of lying. All her friends accused her of lying. Her foster parents accused her of lying. The police accused her of lying. All because she wasn't behaving like a victim, and there was inconsistencies in her story. It is well known that there are inconsistencies in the stories of sexual assault survivors.
Hence why you wait for evidence, like the photos, and the DNA tests, and the blood stains, and the fingerprints, not people's fucking words. Because even in this case, you know, just granting the group that I'm currently facing off against, granting them this actually happened even when it does actually happen. These victims, these survivors fucking lie. And even they don't want to lie, it's just like their mouths have a seizure and just start spouting bullshit. Can you fucking believe this? Even when they want to say the truth, they can't even say the truth. That's how fucking unreliable their words are. And that's why you gotta do an investigation with evidence and not words. Not stories. Oh my god, I can't handle this shit. Oh my god.
About it, and this is just me speculating, it's not that hard to believe, considering that this was a traumatic event, that maybe their brain wasn't able to store memories properly because it was in survival mode, and it's not surprising also due to the fact that they were traumatized, that maybe their memory recall is also not that great. As the police are getting updated training on how to deal with sexual assault survivors, they are told not to scrutinize them in this way because they can have inconsistencies in their stories, but this doesn't mean that they're lying about it.
So now even you admit that the victim, quote-unquote, victim's words are worthless due to the poor recollection of traumatic events. We've deemed the victim to be an uncredible source. Then where is the credibility in Adriana's situation, even if she was telling the truth? Because even you admitted earlier, even when it actually does happen, the victim speaks bullshit. Even when they're not trying to. Yeah, isn't that a real thinker, huh?
So yeah, nothing about the story makes any sense.
Yeah, obviously none of this makes sense to Richard because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He's using the same level of sensitivity as he would with one of his investigative Is He Natty or Not Bra videos. This isn't a stupid athletic video. This isn't something about weight training or nutrition. This is about sexual assault.
Translation from bullshit to English. Women should get special treatment when scrutinized by the public eye. Because women are equal to men?
You need a high degree of sensitivity, and frankly, you should be educated on the matter before you're going to publicly assess whether or not a woman is telling the truth. Even if you are an expert on the matter, I don't think YouTube is the appropriate platform to be having these conversations.
God damn! Tofu Goddess is right again. She is right that YouTube isn't the place to talk about this. This should be talked about in the police and law office.
She actually makes up a pretty huge lie about what I said. And for everyone else who says my stories have some inconsistencies and that I use different vague words is because English is not my first language. For me, sexual abuse and rape mean the same thing because I was taught so. So one of my criticisms of her whole story was that she changed her wording around. At first, she accused William of sexual abuse, but then later on, she accused him.
Yeah, English is not her first language, yet her written grammar is pretty on point, and it's totally not possible that she's just obfuscating this to, you know, muddy the waters so nobody can tell what's really going on. Although, you know, I have my suspicions, but it's very likely that I don't have a vagina, therefore my ideas are worthless and irrelevant to the discussion.
Brave, so I thought that was really suspicious.
Okay, hold on, let's look at this post for a second. Sex can never be consensual if there is a power differential. Okay, so therefore, every single married woman who lives with her husband is automatically a rape victim because he earns more money than she does on a more than likely over 85% basis. Just estimating, all right? Here, I'm not omniscient. I'm like Tofu Goddess here. So 85% of all married women are instantaneous victims of rape, even when they say yes, and even when they enjoy having sex with their husbands, because the man has more power, either physically or financially. Therefore, on the other hand, take a look at it this way. After this accusation, what happens to William? He loses his entire position in DXE. What happens to Adriana? She gets a shower of praise on social media, and probably a bunch of white knights to send her all that good old loving and love and support. Are you gonna tell me that she's not in the positive end of the power differential here? So, if you're defining rape solely by power differential and both parties involved, then Adriana is the rapist here, because she obviously has all this power. She's not the one that got booted from the DXE for, I don't know, having sex with William, given that even happened in the first place. So you tell me, According to this definition, who's the rapist here? Is it just because William has a penis, therefore he's the rapist? That sounds kind of sexist if you ask me. I'm all about that gender equality, and that's a no-no if you ask me. Mm-mm. That ain't gonna fly in my book. Oh, and here's another real gem. Warning.meme replies to this dog shit, saying, "Rape culture is not real, and it's just a feminist concept to promote victim playing." And Adriana responds, "Making up fucking excuses. William is a rapist. I don't care if you believe me or not." Hence why you're getting so mad about someone accusing you of being full of shit. Right, because when I say something to you, and I get mad at you for not believing me, that totally gives you grounds to believe me. And you should believe me because I said so, and because I'm getting mad at you, and you're just making up excuses not to believe me. Because I am saying the truth. Right. Right. I'm sure that if something is really that true, you won't need to constantly prove yourself to yourself by talking about it on social media and seeing if everyone believes it. Because you know it's true, right? Why do you need to confirm something so obvious? You don't care if people don't believe you, so why are you talking about it? And again, in case you haven't heard it the first million times, why haven't you brought it to the police and your lawyer? Oh wait, could it be that you're... No. I'm being silly again. I am just a useless pair of XY chromosomes that should give you free money and believe everything you say because I'm too stupid to know better. Excuse me. All right, I think that's a good stopping point, so I'll cut it off there and get ready for part 2.